Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell.
Well, they say the fear of loss is greater than the hope of gain. And so the idea of losing your freedom and being under the thumb, you and I have grown up talking about being never wanting to be under somebody else's thumb.
That's right.
And I can remember, Bill, when I hit within my toughest times, when I lost my job in construction and before I found financial services and was sorting through things and living on food stamps and unemployment, hand-to-mouth existence, I never asked my mother. She didn't have a lot of money. I would never ask my mother for any money. You know why? Because I knew the rest of my life.
That's right.
The rest of my life, and my mother, very fine, very pleasant, would never be. But by taking money from her, I would have given her, I would have put her in an unpleasant situation. I would have put her in a position where she would almost be forced to look at every decision, every purchase I made going forward. How can he afford that? He still owes me money. And yeah. I knew that I was so desperate to borrow money from her, it'd be a long time before I'm going to get ahead of the game to pay her back. And I said, I would die before I would borrow money from someone because then they'd have a thumb over me. And they would be judgmental on, I wouldn't have the freedom to decide to do this, decide to do that with my money, my income, my future, my career, because I'd have this somebody second guessing me over my shoulder. Not necessarily that they, that kind of person or whatever, but I'd be putting them in that position. And one thing, Bill, is when people ask us for money, a lot of times the best thing we can do is tell them no.
That's right.
Bob Turner used to say, I'm not in that kind of business. He was very clear. I'm not in that kind of business. And I think I won't, without giving things away, I recently was asked from someone for some money. And I knew, no. You shouldn't let yourself get in that situation. This has been coming for 3 or 4 years. And I was just so casual for them. You know, it's just like, you can just Venmo me the money. They just assumed all they had to do was raise a flag and hear Larry come running with the money. And if I had given them the money, here's the way you could tell if you should give it or not. If it makes you feel good, give it to them. If it makes you sick to your stomach and guilty and miserable, don't give it to them. Because, you know, inside, I think we have a gut instinct about whether or not they're playing us. They're trying to get away with something. Because when you have that feeling, they're going to come back again and it's going to be bigger the next time. And so that's another aspect about having money is being able to say no, because everybody's going to come and try and get it out of you. And I think we ought to spend a few minutes talking about that.
You know, Larry, we learned that from Mark Williams when he said, when people ask you for money, your response ought to be, it would hurt you if I gave it to you. What do you mean that would hurt you? You stop rolling. You don't have to be creative. You don't have to burn the midnight oil. You don't have to change your habits. Nothing good comes from helping, what we call helping people with money. Now, we've all, and I know you have, I have, I probably lost at least $100,000 given, and not one person has ever paid me back.
Right.
Ever. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, like you say, if that's what you want to do, fine. Don't expect it to be paid back.
No.
But you're right. We only hurt people if you help them. It's like in America today, give people a guaranteed income. No, that would hurt them. They don't have to grow. No. They don't have to reach. They don't have to get better. They stay the person they are. And that's what we think we're doing. I'm helping you by giving you something. But that's why when you have goals and dreams, you have to grow. I like that book, Think and Grow Rich. You just don't think and work hard. No, you got to grow. You've got to become better. I think I'm better as a human being than I was when I was broke. I've had to grow. I've had to learn discipline. I've had to learn persistence. I've had to learn perseverance. I've had to learn denying myself. I had to learn setting priorities. I've had to learn setting goals. I didn't have to do that when I was just making a living. I had that weekly paycheck coming in, Larry. And that's the thing that we all have to understand. You become better when you got big dreams and goals and you want to be financially independent. One author said that when you become financially independent, that's one less person the government have to worry about. So you're helping out society by not being one of those people that need help.
Right. And the thing is, Bill, when you get it in your mind that this is a must for me to accumulate wealth, it really influences your thinking in so many other areas in terms of your expectation and the goals you set for yourself. It's like, I'm not going to be able to do that with what I've got going on now. Now, I'm going to have to ramp up my efforts, ramp up my business, whatever that means, or I'm going to have to chop expenses down, whatever that means, get leaner, or I'm going to have to, and most of the time, and I'm going to have to change me. Like you talked about, I had to change this. I had to change, but by accepting the reality that this is something you want, you really got to do to look out for yourself, because life is coming for you, folks. Life is coming for you, me, everybody, one way or the other. You know, I don't know if it's health, but you know, you can have a good bit of money saved up, and then all of a sudden a health scare comes and wipes out your savings, or you can get a relative that has to go into nursing care at $1 zillion a month. And there's no other, I'll promise you this, there'll be no other relative that can afford to do it. You know, if it's your father, your mother, your whatever, someone important, you're not going to have any brothers and sisters that can bail you out. It's going to be on you. And you're going to, it can wipe out your savings just like that. And so that's why you want to be in a hurry to do it. And you want to be in a hurry to get it as big as possible, because life is coming. And once you recognize that is a reality and that you're not exempt and you can't afford to be arrogant about it, it affects your, what you, you know, the changes, the discipline you put yourself under, the goals you give for yourself, the kind of intensity with which you live your life, it makes you be more efficient, more productive, and it makes you a better, more productive person. Don't you believe?
Oh, definitely, Larry. And again, for every time you make a choice, you also have to realize you choose the consequence. And then again, I buy used cars, Art Williams taught us that, and drive them until the wheels fall off. Versus, well, I want a new car every year because I feel good in the new car. I like the new smell. I like walking around. You know, people live their lives buying things they don't need on money they don't have to impress people they don't know. And so when you want to have a money accumulation, you want to be have a net worth. And if you want to be a millionaire in 10 years, you have to start saving $4,000 a month. In 10 years, at 12%, $4,000 a month, you're a millionaire. You say, well, I can buy a new car, and that's a car payment of $1,000 a month, or I can save that money and be worth a million on my way to becoming a millionaire. And so I can get 10% of my money. That's $100,000 a year. I can tell everyone to go stick it in their ear because nobody's got their thumb on me. We make choices. Instead of going out to eat, you cook your own food. Instead of buying new clothes all the time, and half of which you never wear. And right. Not using credit cards. My gosh, Larry. And I use credit cards today like crazy, but that only started with about 10 years ago. Until then, I always used cash. Only time I used a credit card is for travel. Most people, they live off their credit cards. And then when COVID comes along, or they lose their jobs, or someone gets sick, they get into financial trouble.
Now, as you listen to so many of these different authors, it's interesting. It's got to be fascinating for you, the different takes people have on this subject. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, Larry, you're right. They do have different takes, but there's always a common thread going through all of them. You get what you're thinking about. And this one author for The Wealth Choice, Dennis Kimbrough, it's kind of like this. Every one of those people that became wealthy, of the 600 people he interviewed that became millionaires, that were born dirt broke, they lived in dirt houses. They all had a common thread. I don't want to live like this anymore. It's kind of like from the movie, Gone with the Wind. It's God is my witness. I'm not going to be broke anymore. And until you've been broke, I feel sorry for people that already have a struggle financially because they've never been awakened to becoming wealthy. And they end up living a low level of financial misery. But they all have a different take on it. And I'm not sure what fits you. But you read enough authors and you're going to find something, the accumulation of all of those little things, and you come up with your own philosophies.
And what do you get from these different books? Like when you read, I remember starting out in financial services, There was a time, I was telling Adam about this the other day, there was a long time that I could not go into a bookstore, Barnes & Noble type bookstore, and go over to the business, sales, entrepreneur section. I could never find a book that I had not read. It was always the test. I'd go in and say, is anybody come up with a new one that I haven't read? And it wasn't something a goal I set for myself. It was just a natural curiosity because I wanted to arm myself for success. I wanted to be over-prepared. And that's why I would come over and ask you and drill you questions, Art Williams, Bob Turley, all of that, because I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to make things easy myself. You want to be a professional, this, that, and the other. But again, that's that paranoia. You didn't want to go out there and embarrass yourself because of some obvious principle everybody else knew that you didn't know. Now, of course, I found out there's still a lot of obvious principles out there that I didn't know because there's so many principles and out there. And so that's why it's good to be reminded. That's why we do the big hitter calls on Monday to simplify and remind and streamline that stuff. Anyway, as you go out there, when you get into these books, and do you ever get bored with it? Why are you not bored reading about this stuff? Is it because they all have a different story?
Yeah, they have different stories. But Larry, it's like reading biographies. You know, it's generally about the same stuff from different people, but it's all about the same stuff. And to me, it's reminders that you're born in a money game, you're living in a money game, you're going to die in a money game. Here's how you play the game. And it's a reminder for me. And of course, we do a lot of teaching. It helps me stay on track and not get sloppy, not get fat, not lose my edge because I take it for granted I got plenty of money, so therefore I don't need to get better. And they challenge me, Larry, constantly, and I respect because these people have taken the time to write, inform us that it doesn't have to be the way it is. It can be better. You can win a money game. Like a founder of our company said, you're either financially independent or you're not. There's no in-betweens. And once you make up your mind to be financially independent, that's a money accumulation plan that you always got to be on the mark, like your spiritual life and mine. You can't ever sit back and say, I got it. You got to be, one of our trainers said, people need to be trained. They need to be reminded. The Bible is nothing more than a constant reminder. These books remind me that I have to stay alert. I have to stay functioning. And have a money consciousness because it's too easy to fall off the wagon. So, Bill, you got plenty of money and you can't take it all with you. You see, here's the excuses coming in. I don't know why I'm money motivated. I don't know why I want to read the books. But I tell you this, we've got a friend of ours, you and I know him very well, Andy Young. He said, I didn't come to our business to build orphanages and take care of the homeless and take care of the poverty stricken. I came here to make money. And then when I'm making money, now I can take care of the homeless and the poverty stricken. You'll find out down the road why you're so motivated to make money, and it will surprise you. You're going to find ways to help people that you never understood before. But someone has got to be money motivated. Someone has got to want to have a vineyard that'll feed a lot of people, not just enough for yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience.